Good morning. My name is Jim Graham, and I'm the chairman of the Finance Administration and Oversight Committee, and I call to order the meeting of the committee at 11 a.m. on January the 10th, 2008. I want to wish everyone present and anyone who may be viewing or listening to this a very happy and prosperous new year. We're very excited that our general manager now has his sea legs, and not 99%, but 100%. And so we are prepared to move forward with great progress in 2008. I note the absence of a quorum. I think we have an absence of a quorum. Do we have an absence?
Yes, you do.
He doesn't vote. Jeff doesn't vote.
Jeff votes on the budget. Oh, he hasn't sworn in. Yeah, he's not sworn in. Mr. Solomon, if you take your seat, we have a quorum.
And over here.
Ms. Hewlett, we'll have a quorum. Mayor Ewell is here, we have a quorum. Is there any discussion? I move the approval of the agenda. Is there any discussion on that motion? Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. The agenda is approved. We have before us the minutes of December the 13th, 2007. I move approval of the minutes as if read. Is there further discussion on the minutes? Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
All right.
Opposed,
two in a row.
Ayes have it. We have one action item. We have two very important information items: the presentation of the FY09 proposed budget will be happening at this meeting, and of course we'll have our financial report. But first, we have our single action item, which is a request to change the process for selecting external auditing services. Is this going to be presented by our Inspector General?
Yes, it is.
It is? Very good, then. Ms. Liu, please.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. The action item you have before you is a request to change the process for selecting external auditing services. As you can see on the screen, some background information. There are at least four key board resolutions relating to this process. The first resolution is 83-. I'm sorry. There are at least four key. There are at least four key board resolutions relating to this process. Resolution 83-3 established a policy for contracting external services and is the direct responsibility of the Board of Directors. Resolution 2013 direct the Board's Audit Committee to procure and present to the Board of Directors a qualified candidate in accordance with established policies and procedures. And this board resolution also identifies those policies and procedures. Resolution 2006-18 established the Office of Inspector General with responsibility for supervising the annual audit. The current process and policies and procedures that are outlined in Resolution 2013 requires the former Office of Auditor General to solicit major accounting firms, use best value procurement, and establish an evaluation support team to evaluate the proposals that are submitted and select the proposers to make oral presentations before the board's audit committee. It also requires that the audit committee hears these oral presentations by the selected proposers and recommends the external audit firm to the Board of Directors for approval. What we are proposing in this action item is that the following changes be made to the policies and guidelines: that the Office of Inspector General solicit the major accounting firms, use the best value procurement, establish an evaluation support team to evaluate the proposals, By the way, this support team would be comprised of the auditors from my office. It would also ask the controller from the financial officer's office, as well as a member of the Department of Transportation's Office of Inspector General that's very involved in financial statement and single audit to participate on this team. We will then also select the proposers to make oral presentations before the Inspector General. The Inspector General, along with the evaluation support team, will hear the oral presentations made by the selected external auditing firms and recommend to this committee the external auditing firm that offers the best value. The this committee, the Finance Administration Oversight Committee, will recommend the selected external auditing firm to the Board of Directors for approval. So that's basically the changes that we're asking, and we're seeking the Board's approval to change this process and rely on the expertise of the Office of Inspector General to select the external auditing firm and make a recommendation to this committee for approval.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lippert. Is there discussion? Discussion, Mr. Benjamin.
I move the revised version of the resolution that's attached. You should have a revised version with a markup that is in your book. And I'll very briefly just explain that.
Let's make sure everybody has. Does everybody have the revised resolution before?
Unless I need a second before I explain.
Yeah. Is there a second?
Is there a second?
It's been moved and seconded by Ms. Hewlett, moved by Mr. Benjamin. Everybody got the right document?
Mr. Benjamin? If you go down under the resolve number 5, the original version would have caused us to say that this committee is not allowed to discuss or recommend anything other than the proposer that was selected by the Inspector General. This version allows this committee to discuss it and then take appropriate action for the board. And number 6 has been deleted. This was considered carefully by the staff, and at the present time, there really is no need for the Inspector General to be the confidential secretary. We have a secretary of the board that can do that.
Further discussion? Further discussion, Mr. Zimmerman?
So the revised is the one that actually appears after the presentation in our book and has that planned out. And that is the subject of the motion.
Correct.
That is the subject of the motion.
The one that was sent out is different from the one you have here.
Yep.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The ayes have it. The motion is carried. Thank you very much, Mr. Lee. Thank you. And now we proceed to the presentation by Mr. Cato, our general manager, of the proposed budget for FY09.
Thank you, Chairman Graham. I'd like to first to say that Woodley Park is not squeaking. Someone's went out there. It has been lower, but I'm going to go out there after this meeting just to make sure myself. Again, this morning, if we can go to the next slide, presentation will be an overview of the FY 2009 operating and metro matters or capital budgets. This presentation is meant to begin the discussion of the budget at a high level, and in February we will bring you a much more detailed budget and specific numbers by line items. I would like to suggest as we move through the budget process between now and June, we consider ways to improve the process, perhaps through special working sessions for the board and working individually with board members as well as committees as organized by the Chief Financial Officer's staff. And before we move into the presentation, let me say a few things first concerning the budget. Combining the 6.5 subsidy increase we projected earlier this fall and the recently implemented fare increases, we are delivering a balanced budget. Second, but most important, we've heard our customers, and I've heard from you this morning very loud and clear, and this budget reflects that we will focus on service reliability and quality and safety. We've made a promise to our customers to deliver improved services and to do that as safely as possible. This budget will help us keep that promise. Well, let's begin with the operating budget. that gives us, this gives me the people, the energy, and the resources to deliver the services it's committed. We're going to begin with the bottom line and touch on some issues we have to resolve in the coming months. Again, next month, we're getting to greater details on these items. Now, let's get right down to it. Revenues are projected to increase $134 million over the next year. This is due primarily to the fare increase, which will be collected over 18 months rather than 12 months. So this year, this upcoming year, including the 6 months remaining in 08 and in 09, the fare increases are expected to deliver an additional $109 million over that period of time. Across the three modes of transportation, we anticipate $22 million in additional revenues due to growth in ridership, in spite of the fare increase. We expect Metro Rail to increase 2.5%, and this is based upon current trends, and Metro Bus to increase 1%, which was the projections that we had earlier this year. And as we have discussed, and we will go into details once we get into the performance of this year's budget, we expect a 16% to 20% increase in Metro Access ridership, our most costly service. We also expect moderate growth in advertising revenues, as well as certain other activities such as the bike locker rentals, fiber optic cables, and joint development. So if you can see, the revenue, total revenue for FY09 is projected to be $789 million. Now let's move to our operating expenses. As I've said before, this budget fuels Metro services, energy, and manpower. The cost to deliver current service levels have increased $148 million. Now again, $40 million of that is because of, we had a one-time funding last year, but we still show an increase of $108 million, which is due to factors like inflation, additional parts, an increased annualized service due to the 8-car trains as well as 6-car trains on weekends and off-peak hours. But it also, as I said, result from the growth and costs of fuel, which is tremendously higher this year than last year. We also budgeted for $19 million in service improvements spread across Metro Rail, Metro Bus, and Metro Access, which we will talk about when I discuss the agency focus on those areas. Next slide. Here you can see services that deals with the subsidy. Currently, the slide projects a $536 million subsidy from the jurisdictions, which is an increase of $33 million. We've highlighted several non-regional bus routes that will be paid by specific jurisdictions. Now that the that $536 million number may not be the final number, but we need board guidance on that. And the reason is these regional services are worth $7 million of reimbursement. At some point, we need to have a discussion, and as I go into the next slide, we can get into that discussion. These are the services that we're talking about. The reduction of the red line turnbacks, which is the Grosvenor turnback, the yellow line extension to Fort Totten, the Georgia Avenue Rapid Bus, Metro Extra, and the College Park Bethesda bus routes. These services can be adopted into the regional service budget, which when you look from a historical perspective has happened, or they can remain funded by the specific jurisdictions. In either case, the total overall subsidy will be $543 million for the whole system. The final option is to discontinue those services, which would cause the subsidy to be $7 million less. We're not recommending that option. But this is an action that we will be bringing back to the board as we have those discussions. With this next slide, I'm going to highlight some of the actions we've taken to improve the financial position of the agency by reducing our expenditures by $63 million. We've taken management actions to reduce those expenses and to increase revenues. These actions range from reducing positions to selling surplus equipment online, and we have improved our economic or financial position by $63 million, but we're not done yet. We still have a lot more to do. We feel that we have a strong budget here. If you go to the next slide. But I do want to point out some things which we have little, if any, control over. And there is some concern within the nation of the possibility of a recession. A major concern being the fact that any recession would impact the tax streams of our partners, the various jurisdictions. Again, that is something we're watching. We didn't have to factor into the budget. On the slides, you can see that we expect to pay higher amounts for energies in FY09. However, our projections are just that. We really cannot predict exactly where this cost will peak. We hope that we will reach a peak in the near future, but if you've been tracking energy costs around the country, they're increasing at an alarming rate, and right now we've not seen any top or peak to that number. But after saying that, we are looking at ways to reduce our energy costs in the long term. And as an example is our solar energy initiative and our program to modify all of our facilities to gain the most from our energy dollars. And that is a program that's underway that we will be giving you updates on in the upcoming months. Although we've recently seen the increases in the cost of health insurance slow down, there are new accounting procedures and standards that we will discuss shortly that have been adopted by our regional partners and are required or recommended to be required, that in good conscience that we should follow, that will increase our costs in the upcoming year. Finally, although our accident claim reserve is recovering, there are pending claims from accidents this past year and prior years that have yet to be settled. So we're making progress, but we do have some expenditures that we expect in this budget year for prior accidents. From an agency focus standpoint, we will continue to focus on safety. Our goal, as you know, is to reduce work-related accidents by 50% over a five-year period of time. We will continue to expand our safety program by using technology as we expand the bus light program to buses that run in Maryland and Virginia. And we would like to partner with the Federal Transit Administration to pilot some safety initiative programs, specifically one program to improve the safety of our track walkers. And we will continue employing customer outreach to develop safer business practices. A point I would like to make here is that we're bringing to bear all the talents of every employee in this agency on improving safety, which will make the system safer for our customers and will positively impact the bottom line. Next slide. From a service improvement standpoint for Metro Bus, we're going to adjust our schedules and improve on-time performance. This budget has dollars to put additional services on existing lines to improve that on-time performance. Again, we've heard out you and our customers very clear on this issue. Additionally, we will be replacing some of our aging bus infrastructure. Hopefully, over the next few days and weeks, we can close the agreement to move and close the Southeastern Garage, and we have plans to close the Arlington Bus Garage as we open up the West Box Garage in mid-2009. Next slide. From a Metro Rail standpoint, we're still on schedule to run 50% of the peak period trains with eight-car trains by spring of 2009, as well as we're tracking with the system enhancements to ensure that we have the infrastructure in place to operate these cars as they come on board. So that's a timing of coordination issue. This budget also reallocates funds to pay for the continual six-car train service and off-peak period. Last year's budget assumed that we would reduce our services in the off-peak and on weekends to four-car trains. After we initiated that from a budget perspective, from a service standpoint, we found that we had issues from a service quality standpoint, not all day for certain parts of the day, and that is a discussion we will have with this board. That decision will result in additional costs to the agencies, and the FY09 budget funds the 6-car trains in the off-peak periods. We also are continuing to ship more escalator maintenance away from contract maintenance, which will save us dollars in our capital program, and then also as a result of the internal training program that we have additional staff that's graduating and working on our escalators and our elevators. Improvements to metro access are also coming. We have implemented the door-to-door service. We're expanding the fleet to improve on-time performance and meet the increased demand. We've increased the call center and contract monitoring staff, and we have better response from a phone perspective of addressing the needs of our customers. We're streamlining the eligibility certification process, and we have expanded the customer outreach and travel training program to encourage our customers to make the transition from certain trips from Metro Access to the fixed route as well as the rail system. And we're working on establishing a cashless fare program for Metro Access that would allow the prepayment of trips, which will speed up the trips and also allow our drivers to concentrate on what they should be concentrating on, that's their customers and safety. From a budgetary standpoint, again, there's a couple of issues I'd like for you to be aware of as we proceed with this budget. One is the new government regulations on accounting that require that we recognize post-employment benefits on our ledger. In this budget, we propose the establishment of a trust as a result of these new rules. That trust will benefit us, especially when it comes to bonding and interest rates. This is something already being done by the local jurisdictions, and we believe and we recommend that Metro follow suit. In June of 2004, the board approved a resolution that will implement a balance transfer. This is a process where we look at the number of people that utilizes other buses in the region for transfers from our system, that we transfer revenues to those operators based upon actual numbers. And this could happen in 2009, which will cause some shift in revenues up to $5 million, and these include those in the non-compact jurisdiction. So we want to have additional discussion on that issue. Finally, there will be
Mr. Gentleman, at the risk of opening the floodgates, you know, I've let other issues and clarifications go slip by here, but on this issue I do want to interrupt you, the balance transfer. The question, it's been, you know, some time since we've actually looked at that question, and there is a relevance of the balance transfer, correct me if I'm wrong, to our long-awaited bus-to-rail transfer situation. And at the present time in the system, we don't have the ability of our bus riders to transfer into rail. Although we have the ability of our rail riders to transfer under certain circumstances to bus. And as has been explained to me, that this is turning in part on this balance transfer issue. Which jurisdiction does not have in place new fare boxes to accommodate this technology?
Prince George's County.
Are there others?
No, Prince George's is the last one, but they're very close.
But they're very close. And do we have any timeline on when that's going to happen?
We anticipate during the fiscal 09 budget year. Greg, you want to come up?
And how long have all other jurisdictions had this technology in place?
The operators began early, almost a year ago. The first Virginia operator began, and we completed by
So it's been at least a half a year or more when all of the operators had this technology in place. Is there any kind of, I know we have representation from Prince George's County here, and they may wish to speak to this issue, but is there any way we can communicate our sense of wanting to move forward on this issue so that we can get the I know there's a revenue impact for Metro, which might encourage us not to move forward, but we also have this important issue of people being able to transfer from bus to rail, And those of us who have been on the board remember how long this has been percolating. And is there a message that we could send to...
Yes, we will communicate that message. They are working, but I will have that discussion with them.
Yes, Ms. Hutchins.
Is the delay different than what we experienced in Virginia? And that was the technology and the ability to quickly install it. Remember, Metro buses had a different technology. We had to upgrade, and the long delay there. Is it anything different than that that's delaying in Georgia?
I prefer not to speak to this, but I can tell you the technology is all of the software issues out. It's a very well configured box. It's not a technology issue.
Let me meet with them and find out what the issues are and have those discussions.
And finally, let me just say, is there any way to separate out from the revenue issue, let's call it, the question of the bus-to-rail transfer issue?
Let us...
You don't have to answer that now. I just want to leave that question as something that... Because for those of us who have waited a long time for this... maybe the issues relating to the technology and the final bus systems installation of such technology can be separated from the question of permitting a very important change, which is the bus to rail transfer. Will you please contemplate that and get back to us?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Solomon.
Yes, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a meeting with Public Works and Transportation next Tuesday. The county, and I bring this up. I'm not aware, just for purposes of clarification to this committee, of what the issue is that has caused the delay, but I will find out, and along with the general manager, try to expedite this as much as possible.
Thank you. Mr. Benjamin?
Just since we're having this discussion, just going back to one item, I have to be a little bit careful about the post-employment benefits, since I'm one of the recipients of those. This is an item
where the accounting
standards have changed, and I understand the change of those and what the effect of that is. I would note, however, as you consider this and as you bring it back to the board, that there are a number of different areas where liabilities such as this one do in fact get put on the books of Metro, but we do not fund the liability. We've chosen very carefully to fund some liabilities but not others. Yes. To the degree that we choose not to fund this particular liability, regardless of what jurisdictions do or other agencies do, that would have no effect whatsoever on their operating budget. So if you would carefully consider not just the standard but the question of whether or not this is one that we want to fund, I think that's a discussion that the board will have to have at some point in the future.
What we'd also like to bring back is the potential impact it could have on our interest expense. If the supporting jurisdictions all fully fund their liability but ours is not funded, the bonding agents will see us as more risky and our bonding costs would potentially
higher. I won't get into all of the details, but there are a number of others where that issue has come up in the past because we do not fund, for instance, vacation accruals.
Right.
The question becomes, do you want at this point burden your operating budget with this particular item, and what are the ups and downs of that? Because, in fact, the change in the accounting standards doesn't actually cause us to have to do anything other than show it on our books.
You're correct. You're absolutely correct.
Well, we've been very well behaved for 13 pages.
I'm almost done.
Oh, you're almost done. Okay. I'm now going to permit others to comment, of course,
So to speak, just refrain anyway.
Those who wish to restrain themselves, they can do so, but there may be those that don't want to. And so, in fairness to everybody, let's complete the presentation.
Again, the other issue that might be an impact to the agency is the base realignment and closure plan for the region, and we're just saying we're monitoring those, we'll keep the board informed as we move forward. To summarize, the subsidy increases proposed was planned at $33 million. The actual budget proposal for operating is $1.325 billion, which was on the fourth slide. The budget includes service expansion and improvement. Fare increases have been implemented, and we're monitoring that to ensure that there are not shifts in our ridership or fare collection, and we will continue to notify the board of that. and the operation budget is built with a focus on improving service and safety to our customers. Slide, the next slide is the one that deals with the capital budget, and it's also key and very critical in maintaining our infrastructure and providing top services to our customers. We're at the halfway mark of the $3.21 billion Metro Matters program, and we have an FY09 projected capital budget of $444.6 million. As you saw in our operating performance presentation earlier, we have an immediate need to improve our reliability in what's called for under Metro Matters. To do that, we will be developing an interim program that we will present to you next month, and we will identify the top priorities and how do we fund those and recommendations. And again, I don't mean to be a broken record, but this is about the service quality and safety of our customers. As we near the end of Metro Matters, we will also be developing a new capital improvement program, and that effort is underway, and it will be ready for discussion by mid-year, with the goal of adopting a brand new capital program from FY2011, which is the end of Metro Matters, the year afterwards, moving forward. And I'm going to turn the rest of this presentation over to Rick Hartcomb so he can give you an update on the Metro Matters program. It's required under Metro Matters. We are required to update the board. However, this is the first update, a major update of this program that I can find documentation on.
The Metro Matters program is a name that has often been given to our capital improvement program. There is actually a binding agreement between WMATA and the jurisdiction, so we can find a legal-looking document that says Metro Matters up on the top of it. But when we say Metro Matters, we're talking about our CIP. It began in fiscal 2000.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Zimmerman.
So we don't start off with it. Metro Matters is not identical to the capital budget. It never was. It is a portion of a capital budget.
Yes, you are correct.
Specifically tailored to particular set of needs.
Absolutely true. There's other things like reimbursable capital projects that are outside of Metro Matters.
And there's system expansion, which was separate from Metro Matters. Mm-hmm. Metro Matters was, how are we going to buy the rail cars on which we have the options that are going to expire if we don't do something, and a set of other things that were essentially urgent to maintain the capacity of the system relatively short to midterm period.
Correct. And at when we created Metro Matters, I agree completely. There was system expansion. SAP were the acronyms given to them. At this point in time, they have declined to the point where they're kind of inconsequential from a budgetary standpoint. They're still there.
I mean, we have more in our CIP that is Metro Matters.
Yes. Metro Matters is the monster number of the CIP. It is the big thing in the budget right now.
Thank you for the clarification.
Metro Matters, it's defined differently depending on how you look at it. It began in 2005. In the document that originated, it stretches out to 2024 because it was always envisioned there would be debt issuance and then debt service payoffs that could take as long as 2024, and in some cases even longer. The funded portion, the part where the work is getting done, the money is being spent on projects, is from 05 to 10, where we're kind of at the halfway point right now. And if I narrow the focus even more to just the fiscal year that we're talking about, there's about $500 million worth of work that's going to get done this year. Back to Mr. Zimmerman's point, when Metro Matters was created, there were three primary objectives, which was to catch up on deferred maintenance of the 89.5-mile rail system at the time. The remainder of the rail system was so new there really wasn't any deferred maintenance to speak of. In addition to that, as he spoke, we were trying to expand the fleet size on both the railroad and the bus company, and that's what items B and C are about. So from here on out, fiscal 9 and 10, we're probably going to start looking at Metro Matters in a closeout posture. The projects are largely fully expending their budgets, and we're moving toward the back end of the thing. I want to look at it two ways, one from a financial way and one from a project way. From a financial standpoint, things are pretty much tracking according to budget. The federal formula grants that are revenue streams into this are actually doing a little tiny bit better than was originally assumed. The discretionary federal funding, no surprise, didn't materialize as we anticipated. We've known this for some time now. Metro Matters assumed $260 million for the railcar program, and we only got $104 million coming in over a three-year period. Thank you to all of you. Your jurisdictional contributions are exactly on time and on budget. Everybody has done that exactly as planned. Metro Matters anticipated that long-term debt would have been issued by now. We've managed to avoid that primarily by using what in this presentation is being called internal borrowing. There was cash on hand before Metro Matters was enacted. It was kind of a beginning balance that was never really dealt with in the agreement, and we've been drawing down that cash on hand. And that's something that we're looking at as we come back to you next month with the debt issuance. That drawdown of the existing cash will probably allow us to minimize the size of the debt issuance. On the next page, this is what the maximum size of the debt issuance could have been. I don't think we're going to go that far, but right there in the middle, the attachment 4A to the Metro Matters agreement outlined $611 million of debt issuance, and then as I spoke, there's provisions in the agreement where we could potentially issue debt to cover shortfalls in federal discretionary funding. So at the far extreme, there'd be a maximum of $767 million. I fully anticipate that when we're back next month with the action item, it will be a lot lower than that, to the tune of possibly $100 million or so. We're still working on the final numbers. If we could go to the next page, and I kind of apologize for the heading there. I was doing this while I was watching football over the weekend, so it kind of became a halftime report as the Redskins were losing. There's, from a dollars and cents point of view, there's no risk that Metro Matters can go over budget. We have financial controls built into the financial systems. It physically just can't happen. What could happen is scope shrinkage or deferrals. Things could potentially be pushed out beyond the boundary of fiscal 2010. And kind of the easiest to understand example of this is in the bus procurements. When Metro Matters was put together, we anticipated buying a certain number of buses, and the unit cost back then was in the $300,000 to $350,000 range. We're now looking at unit bus costs of $500,000. Since we have a defined amount of money to spend, what has to give is the quantity of assets being procured with those.
Mr. Zimmerman.
To clarify, the change there, though, is not inflation.
Right.
The change there was a decision in between to change what we were buying, to go with a prototype vehicle, for the better judgment of some of us. It happens to cost a whole lot more, 60% per unit. That isn't, however, inflation.
Point taken. Point taken.
Thank you.
It was a change from compressed natural gas vehicles to hybrid vehicles.
So, as I mentioned, given that we're now looking at the 09 budget and then there's one more budget year beyond that, we're the focus is starting to shift toward the closeout of the Metro Matters program, and it begins to beg the question of what's going to come next. Next page, please. You've heard a lot of this already this morning. Just a reminder that the ACAR train initiative is on schedule. We're moving ahead. The bus fleet average age has declined greatly. So there's been a lot of really, really good accomplishments. But the biggest concern there is the bottom bullet, that we've made up a lot of lost ground in terms of catching up on deferred maintenance. But if there aren't additional capital resources beyond 2010, we're going to fall right back into where we were before Metro Matters. Next page, please. But what we're kind of struggling with in a budgetary sense is how do you get from the Metro Matters capital to budget to whatever's going to replace it, because you can't just kind of close one and start another. There's a lot of preliminary engineering work that's going to have to get done prior to that next CIP getting up and running. As you heard this morning in the Operations Committee, there's near-term need for reliability improvements. So what we're trying to create here is kind of a bridge budget, and I don't want to use that term too much because it'll be a bridge to where, but it's an interim capital budget that'll carry us from Metro Matters to whatever comes after Metro Matters. And again, when we come back next month, we're going to have a lot more details on it, but it could begin funding a lot of what you heard this morning, the needs and the electrical and the power and the substation systems. Part of that could be funded through some reprogramming actions, and it could be funded through an additional debt issuance. And I'm going to just stop at that because the details of that will come to you in the next meeting. In terms of what comes after Metro Matters, we're now looking really long-term, 2011 and beyond. We have a contractor on board already. They're doing a system-wide assessment, and basically the benchmark we're using is what do we need to do to keep Metro in a state of good repair. We're also cataloging, documenting opportunities for expansion. All of this is being pulled together right now, and eventually it'll have to go through a prioritization process based on what funding constraints we think we might have, and we anticipate this will be coming to you probably this spring, later this year. So that's kind of a recap of the budget. We really, probably my fault, haven't spent that much time talking about the capital budget here. And in the next item, the monthly financial report, I want to highlight some changes. I don't need to go there right this minute. But a lot of times we're down here talking about ridership and revenue and diesel fuel and everything on the operating side. We don't spend a lot of time on the CIP. So from here on out, we're going to try and give you more balanced financial presentations that let you look at what's going on both operating and capital. The conclusion of this is that, as Mr. Zimmerman pointed out, the things that are not Metro Matters are generally specifically funded by a particular jurisdiction. Dulles is the biggest example there. And as we kind of wrap out and try to figure out where to go, is everyone's beginning to look at what will become the next federal authorization for transportation. And big guy here is on the team. And I'll leave it to you to explain.
But thank you for closing it out that way. From the federal authorization standpoint, I have been requested and agreed to serve as a co-chair of APTA's reauthorization subcommittee. And we will be working quite a bit over the next year to identify additional dollars. And our first position is a doubling of federal dollars for public transit. And my job is to ensure whatever bill that comes through, it's beneficial not only to the industry, but to specifically the Metro. And fortunately, there are other people within the agency, and I will make the offer to other board members. Director Benjamin is on one of the committees, the reauthorization committee, as a board member. I think you had actively participated for many years. And I was going to make this discussion in the closed session, and if there are other members who are interested in participating in the process. But this will be an ongoing two-year process as the federal government looks at its public transit bill, and we have to be a part of that to ensure that we get our fair share of those dollars.
So this kind of leaves us with a look ahead for the committee, the activities that will take us from now through early spring. The fairly typical process the committee goes through, and we anticipate hopefully a adoption of the 09 budget by June of this calendar year.
Chairman, questions on operating budget. A couple little things. On page 10, on Metro Bus service improvements, an item reads, adjust schedules to improve on-time performance. I know I've seen that line before and asked about it before. I'll ask about it again. If this means that currently our schedules aren't being met because they can't, you know, they can't meet the schedule, sometimes that leads to an adjustment of the schedule to reflect what they're actually doing. That may be better than having a bad schedule, but that's not a service improvement. So could you clarify what we mean by adjust schedules? Are we talking about changing the printed table, or are we talking about actually changing service?
We're talking about changing the service and changing the table after we change the service. You're right, changing the table doesn't change any, that's not an improvement in service.
But we have seen that in the past.
No, this is actual commitment of additional resources.
I won't ask for details here. I'm sure we'll get that in an appropriate time, but I did want to clarify that. The second point on page 4 or 5, we summarized the major categories and showed the subsidy increase. The subsidy increase to Chenier is 6.5%, which is the number we heard before.
Yes.
The fare increase, of course, did not go as far as the full package that was used in the earlier projections. So how is it that you still have a 6.5% number here, even though you don't have as much revenue as in the case of the whole
$60 million? Okay. We do project that the fare increase will generate the $1.9 million. And the reason is the changes that were made in discussion and this board approving that increase was a reduction. Actually, we decided and looked at the numbers, and we did not reduce the ridership numbers as we projected. We think there's going to be less of an impact to the ridership.
You used a change assumption about the price elasticity of demand.
Yes.
I believe that you were specifically instructed not to do that.
Well, also, the package that went out to public hearing would have generated more than $109 million. I believe it was almost $112 million is what was advertised.
I know there was some difference, but the point is it was less than the $109, whatever it is. And the only way to get it back at that point would have been to change the assumption. had a pretty discussion about that at that meeting, and I thought the committee was clear that we didn't want to be changing the way in which the assumption was being made at this point. I specifically said, you know, as you move through this, estimates will change for other reasons. You'll refine them, and you know, there'll be more data that come in. But to change the assumption, the basic parameters, for no other reason but to make the numbers work, is something that can only hurt our credibility.
And in fairness, I might have misspoken on that. And I have to, yes, I was not at that meeting. I know we had those discussions, and I missed that part, so I have to ask Rick to respond a bit more on that.
It might just come down to a definition of the revenue, because there's other revenue growth in this budget now that wasn't on the table forecast. We were projecting only a 1% growth in rail ridership at that time, and what we've seen so far is a projection that this year's rail revenue will probably be $9 million better than budget by year end, and we're looking at actual growth rates anywhere from 3 to 4 to 5% right now. So we bumped the budget up to 2.5%. I've got many variables on the revenue equation that in kind of a order of magnitude are much larger than what could have happened by a change in elasticity assumptions.
Okay, that's kind of what I'd hope the answer would be.
Yeah.
That's, you know, reasonable, but I am concerned now about, you all aren't sure what the assumption you're using. In the long run, I don't know that the newer elasticity number, the one that frankly Mr. Benjamin recommended, isn't the right one to use. I just don't want us jimmying the parameters to make the numbers work.
Agreed.
So, you know, I'm going to ask this question next time we go around, too. What assumptions are you using? And how much is attributable to new data that gives you a better picture of what revenues are and improve versus what's a change in assumption working on?
And one of the things staff is really anxious to try and capture with this fare increase is, as best we can, figure out what real ridership changes happen because of this. Since we really don't have any system expansion or major bus service changes going on, and there's nothing else really happening right now, it's almost a rarefied atmosphere to see what happens in real life when you have a fare increase.
I hate that because, of course,
I understand.
Other things aren't being held constant.
Right.
The price of gas isn't what it was last year, and other things are going on. I just, the conservative number now will be better off.
Absolutely.
And we will have actual numbers as we move forward. Exactly what you talked about, we have some experience. By the next meeting and then the meeting after that, we have additional experience. And before we approve this budget, we have several months of actual collections that we can use to determine what the projected 18-month increase will be.
Thank you, Mr. Ms. Hutchins?
Just a question regarding the subsidy increase. It is 6.5%. Is that constant over the jurisdictional, or is there a table that shows it? Variance.
The very last page of the presentation shows subsidy by jurisdiction. And no, 6.5% is the average for everybody, but on a jurisdiction by jurisdiction basis, there could be pretty significant swings.
And I'm looking at the swing for Fairfax County.
Well, actually, the page on the presentation simply shows the relative share of each jurisdiction. That's not showing the percentage increase from year to year, but we can certainly make that available.
To show what the how the differences occurred.
Yeah, I'd actually like to suggest that should be a briefing to the committee, because there's going to be a number of issues with the subsidy allocation comparing what happened last year to what's happening right now.
Right.
Further discussion, Mr. Linton, followed by Mr. Giancola.
It's been reported to me that the ridership in Montgomery County was actually going down prior to the fare increase. In December. I'm very interested in seeing what's going on there.
Yeah, we system-wide, we saw the same thing. December was a bad month, relatively speaking. We had snow, there was some nasty weather. One or two days of nasty weather can make a swing. The first 4 months of the year, we saw pretty good ridership, so we're going to watch it and see if December was an anomaly or if it's change in direction.
Mr. Giancola, Mr. Monomay.
For you, Mr. Cato, and Mr. Benjamin, who are working with APTA on next reauthorization, I think you both realize that the current authorization, Safety Lou, does have a projected deficit in fiscal 09 of $4 to $5 billion, which the Congress has not addressed. I was kind of curious whether or not any of that money in that year, and again, I know that, that probably in the transit area, it's funded by project rather than by just general monies to states and such. But I was kind of curious whether we're going to see any impact if, in fact, the Congress doesn't solve that $5 billion problem in fiscal 09, and if so, are you working on some contingencies to cut back?
Well, first of all, I'm optimistic that Congress will come to light and realize that they need to fund this. That's happened historically, that, that bills have had the deficits and reductions shown, but ultimately when Congress acted, they funded the bill as up to the level as projected. However, should they not do that, you're absolutely right. If there would be a cutback in federal funding, it would impact some of our capital programs.
Have we kind of pre-selected things we're going to defer?
No, we've not pre-selected things we're going to defer.
We kind of need to hear about that if you're going to pursue that.
Let me just note that that deficit is the combined highways and transit deficit, and there is has always been a mechanism for finding a way to make sure that that deficit goes away.
Yes, I'm fairly confident that you're going to go through.
Well, my tea leaves are reading maybe I'm not as fairly confident as maybe some of the others are. But that being said, I would certainly urge APSA to be aggressive in trying to encourage the Congress to solve this 09 problem.
They're very aggressive on this issue.
A related question about capital programs and really looking at the analysis for the next Metro Matters. I think it might be useful for us, we've talked about Metro Matters, the progress financially thus far. It'd be useful to get a sense of the improvements we made through Metro Matters, what's been the actual improvement in the quality of the system to see if we have we achieved what we want to do in making those investments. And that can help us make that decision about what's the right next investment, and if money goes away, which ones don't we want to do because they haven't resulted in the appropriate improvements of the system. I'd like to see in that report, in preparation for the next Metro Matters, some assessment of, okay, we made this investment with Metro Matters, we expected this to happen, this is what's actually happening. I'm just going to give us a sense of what's the right, where we're getting the biggest bang for our buck.
Here's what we did, here's what we didn't do, and what the impact was.
Sure. Exactly. Further discussion?
I just have one question. You started out your presentation talking about future processes that we might go through that you want to recommend. Would you, when might you come back and give us that information, or are you just sharing some guidance to us? Because I think it would be really helpful that this board to have a working opportunity to work through the budget a little bit differently than we've done in the past.
We're looking at that in two ways. We've looked through the Metro Matters projects, and we're going to recommend to you a relatively minor but a reprogramming to meet some critical needs within the existing funding. And then we're also going to recommend an additional borrow in the hundreds of millions of dollars to meet some of the critical needs that Mr. Francis and others talked about in the prior committee. And what we're looking at is our existing debt service stream. We pay $33 million a year right now in debt service, but over the next 6 years or so, some of those issues will be paid off, and that debt service will become available. Now, of course, there can be a discussion, can Metro continue to rely upon those dollars? Do the jurisdictions want to retain those dollars? Those are some of the topics of discussion, and we'll bring this to you next month.
Okay. But you're also talking about process.
Thank you very much.
That was good information. We will be, by the next meeting, the board meeting, we will have some recommendations on recommended approaches to this. How do you want to proceed from a committee standpoint, an individual board member standpoint, and a full board standpoint. So we have some processes and recommendations in detail by that meeting.
May I ask also that we started last year with a much more open process with the public in discussing the budget. Are you including any changes in that, or making sure that we at least continue where we've been? Because I think we started out.
At a minimum, we will at least do what we've done before, but I would imagine the process would be expanded some.
Yeah, I would think I'll be in front of the JCC pretty much every time they meet. I went to the RAC meeting last night and began a budget discussion with them. We had some open house meetings last year where just the general public came in. We could do that again.
Yes.
Further discussion?
I have just one additional issue. I'm very concerned, you know, I have been concerned throughout the whole fare increase discussion about a matter that hasn't gotten much media attention, but it's actually very important, and that is the fate of the paper transfers in the bus system. And we, the board will remember that we put off the abolition of the paper transfers for one full year in order to be sure that we had a, in place a plan for the distribution of the Smart Trip cards free of charge to low-income persons. And I just would like to, you don't have to respond to this now. Of course, if you had definite information, it would be good. But if you, you do?
Yes.
I just want to know what the status of all of this is. There are 50,000 Smart Trip cards which are presumably being distributed. And
yes.
Can you give us an update on that?
On the update of Smart Trip cards, the board approved the distribution of up to 50,000 Smart Trip cards, and we distributed 29,000 to various agencies in the region on December 24th, and a balance of 21,000 on December 28th. The breakdown was 19,150 to the District of Columbia. Prince George's County is 10,450. Montgomery County, 8,550. Arlington County, 3,450. And the City of Alexander, 2,050. And Fairfax County, and it's a different breakdown of the different numbers, total of 6,450. And these went directly to Social Service Agency, and we just used the operating subsidy formula. There's different ways you could have looked at it to distribute the cards themselves. We have not received any feedback yet, and we're that I'm aware of from the agencies of any problems with issuing those cards, and we can give you updates from the board's perspective. We did receive some calls and concerns concerning tokens.
Wait, before you go to the token issue, that's a separate issue. I am concerned about the 19,500 Smart Trip cards to the District of Columbia, because my concern is that this will be too small of a number in terms of the people who ought to be qualified for this. And need I remind everybody how important this is, because once the paper transfer is abolished, it will mean that somebody will be paying double bus fare, double bus fare, where heretofore they had a paper transfer. And so that would be the greatest increase of all, absent the Smart Trip card. And so others were very particular about giving us this year transition. But the 50,000 cards, I believe, is stated in the resolution, am I right?
Yes.
But the allocation formula is not.
No.
And so I just want to footnote this, because I think that this may be something we want to visit again once we have better information on what's happening here. I mean, we've never done anything like this before, so undoubtedly there's going to be some transitional issues. Fortunately, we have the time to do it. But I think that one of the things that we can start on right now, and perhaps with some assistance from the media, is to remind people of the importance of having these free Smart Trip cards, because in the future, the paper transfers are going to be abolished and they're going to need them.
Yeah, I think I agree with the importance of getting these to anybody who qualifies and who would need them. I also agree that we have to have the transition figured out before we can move to the paper system, which is what we tried to allow for. And I also agree that we need to do that then, because we really do need to move this to a 21st century basis, operate more efficiently. Once we've kind of got, this is sort of the first order of magnitude, the first order of importance, dealing with the population that is most vulnerable, most needful. But then there's everybody else, and we still need to make sure that we're doing enough to distribute, to make Smart Trip cards generally available, to distribute them to the general public better. And you know, what we found is that it's been highly successful in the rail system. It's been harder getting it distributed among bus passengers, and some of that has to do with just the practicality of where both you can get the card and, more importantly, load value on it. So we're going to need to be doing throughout this year talking about what our plan is and how we're going to improve that system for all riders, because we do ultimately want them all using this card, getting the benefit for them and the benefit to everyone else.
bus service will work much more efficiently for every bus rider when every bus rider is using a smart trip.
And if I could just add, and then I'll see who else wants to talk about this, is that I would also like to have a report on how the various jurisdictions are defining low income. Because, again, I think that was the terminology in the resolution. But Metro Ramada has not established any definition.
No, we have not established
and so
definition.
Some idea of just what's happening here, I think, would be very relevant. Is that okay with you to give
yes,
us?
Yes, we just contacted various agencies that we'd assure them to and get those guidelines.
Mr. Solomon.
Yes. Mr. Cato, you said you distributed these cards, but do you know whether or not the jurisdiction had in turn distributed them to the end user?
No, that's something, as we said, we've not received that feedback. And from discussions I've had the last couple of days, we're contacting the agencies we gave the cards to first determine if, how many have they distributed. Now we need to also know what the income levels are. But are there issues? Have it been working smoothly? Are people requesting those? And what are their processes? And we'll bring that back to the board.
Yeah, because we don't want them to sit in a closet somewhere and not being used. I mean, if one jurisdiction, Mr. Graham said, may need more than 19,000, but some other jurisdiction may need more than their allotted share, and if they're sitting in one location and not being used, then we can redistribute them where they're being needed. Thank you.
Well, I'll miss.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Sullivan.
Thank you, because I have a good piece of the same issue.
Yeah, to follow up on this discussion, I do know that we don't know the answer to how they've been distributed once they've gotten to the agencies, but we are working with them, and I know that some people representing various agencies have written to us and have contacted us either via email, letter, or phone, and we have directed them to the appropriate agencies as well. We've asked for follow-up. So I don't know if Ms. Chambliss has any additional information on that or not, but I know we did, because that was a concern of mine as well, to put other people actually in touch with those agencies so that both sides know where to go to get these smart trip cards.
You were about to answer about the tokens. And
let me just see if we finished with the smart card paper transfer.
We've also heard concerns because there are folks who are also low income but use only occasionally or one-time uses. And I guess the question is that still going to be available or what might we have?
Okay. The board action itself eliminated tokens for social service agencies to the general public, students, and DC students and others, and Metro Access were exceptions. However, we have heard a lot of concern, and I took it upon myself after discussion that the intent was to make the transition as smooth as possible. So right now, we're still selling tokens to social service agencies. What we will do is come back to the board with a cleanup resolution, because I do not believe from the feedback I've received from board members and agencies that your intent was to deny that ability for them to distribute some form of transportation media. However, we have to work out some other mechanism between now and a year from now, because a token would give you one ride, and a year from now we have no transfers. And so there has to be some other process, but we're working on some recommendations, but right now I just want to fix what resolution that's been passed and make a modification to it, and we'll bring that back to the board.
I would just add that, you know, you and I have discussed this, and it's very important that we figure out this token issue, because I think it was one of those elements of the fair proposal that didn't get too much attention and, you know, couldn't deal with every issue. Not much discussion on that. There might be some unwitting impacts there. Appreciate you raising that. So, is there further discussion on the proposed budget or financial matters related thereto? Okay, thank you very much. And now we'll proceed to our information item on the monthly financial report.
Yes, I will spare you reading every word on every page. I'm going to go through it pretty quick. Janice, could you back up one page? I want to just explain a difference in the report, and we've talked about it a little bit before. We're trying to change the focus of the reporting to give you more information on what's going on in the capital budget. We've had a pretty good reporting history of reporting monthly on the operating budget, but we're now going to have monthly updates on everything that's going on in the CIP, from debt issuances to project reports. And you can see on the front of this, basically what we're trying to do is give you a one-page exact summary so you get a flavor for what happened during the month. We're going to take a snapshot of the operating financials and ridership trends. We'll go through the CIP, and we'll keep you informed about what's going on with our debt issuances. So if I could flip in one page, I'll let you read the executive summary as you wish. Let's look at the operating finances. Janice, one more page. There you go. The key information there is in the table on the bottom right-hand side. You can see a 1% favorability in our operating revenues compared to budget. Expenses are 1% under budget, so you add the two together. And at the subsidy line, at the end of November, we're 2% better than budget. It's good news, but it is a very razor-thin margin, which just kind of reemphasizes the fragile nature of the budget. We've been saying that all along. We don't have a contingency. There's really no pads. The budget's been stripped down pretty much to bare bones. We're in good shape, but we are at a very, very thin margin. But luckily, we're on the right side of it. Next page. Ridership trends. Again, I'll look basically down to the bottom right-hand side. On a year-to-date basis, you can see growth happening in the railroad. I mentioned that earlier this morning. We've got 5% growth happening in Metro Rail, which is amazing because we went through a plateau period last year where we had virtually no ridership growth, and to this day, I still haven't quite figured all that out. Bus is continuing. It keeps going along. Nice, healthy 1% growth. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down, but it stays pretty consistent. One, Metro Access. I understand there's a definitional question. There's two different ways to measure ridership on Metro Access. What this report focuses on ties back to revenues and budgeting, and they're called completed trips. What I think was being discussed earlier this morning was scheduled trips. And scheduled trips are up here, completed trips are up here, and it's just apples and oranges. It's just a different definition. Next page, please.
One thing per second.
I wasn't here for that discussion, but I think that's what was being talked about.
It doesn't cost us anything or very little to schedule a trip that's not completed, right?
Right. Right. The issue with scheduled trips could be one of on-time performance. If we've got a lot of people calling and scheduling trips, but then the trips aren't made, there's some amount of work that's getting done on product that never actually gets delivered.
We really don't know the answer yet. We'll get back to you.
This is a new page in the monthly report. We're going to update it every single month. And basically what it shows you is, if I can make this thing work, this is for this fiscal year, 08. The budget has an assumption of $947 million is going to be spent on projects. This is where it comes from. These are the revenue sources this year, federal, state, local, miscellaneous, and borrowing. The bottom half is where that $947 will go. It will go into the IRP and ACAR train projects and bus expansions. On a year-to-date basis, we're just shy of 50% revenue received, which is pretty normal. That's pretty stable and predictable. On the outflows of the 947, about a third of it has been obligated so far this year. The expenditures are running a little below what kind of just a calendarization would do. So we've got a lot of expenditures to make up between now and the end of the year. Flip the page, please. We also want to give you kind of a one-page highlight each month on some section of Metro Matters, and this is kind of a dovetail to what you saw this morning. I won't read all of this, but it was just a discussion of the traction power project and an explanation of what's going on with ATC. We're acronym happy around here, but this stands for automatic train control. That's how the trains stop as they come into the platforms. Next page, please.
Can we back up for just a second?
Sure.
On the obligations and expenditures, the line you show or the column you show for budget is an expenditure column, correct?
Correct.
So the only thing you match it against is actual expenditures, not against obligations.
Right.
Okay.
This is a page where we're going to start keeping track for you of outstanding debt. This section up here is same old, same old. That number right there is something everybody should be used to seeing every single year, the debt service payment on the old construction bonds from a million years ago. These are bonds that were issued to speed up rehabilitation of an escalator program, and that payoff should be done by 2011. This is what's going on inside of Metro Matters. We have not yet issued long-term debt. We'll be back to you next month with that. In the interim, what we have done is issued what's called commercial paper. It's short-term debt, and we have used what we're calling internal borrowing. I mentioned earlier that that was bleeding off kind of a beginning balance that was never accounted for in Metro Matters. Next page. From here on out, we just go through an appendix. I'll go real quick through this. Janice, just jump one more page, please. This is just a summary of what's going on in the operating budget. On the left side is monthly results. On the right side is year-to-date results. You can compare both actual to budget this year and actual to last year's actual at this moment in time. Down at the bottom, you can see system-wide cost recovery ratios. Janice, one more page. From here, what we start doing is taking the Metro budget and breaking it apart into what we call modes of transportation. This is just looking at Metro Rail by itself, and again, you can see the high cost recoveries down here on Metro Rail. This revenue as a percent of expense is fairly high. Janice, next page. This is bus, the more typical 30% cost recoveries that we see down here. And then the next page, what we do is take bus and actually break it apart into flavors of bus. There's regional Metro bus and non-regional Metro bus, and that's what these two pages are. And then two more pages, there you go. This is looking at the mode called paratransit, and this is what we were talking about. Revenues are basically on budget right now, and the expenses are actually a little bit under budget. Next page. This is an analysis that we do behind the scenes. I don't know that we've ever shared this with you, but this is how we kind of look at what's going on with ridership by mode. So up here you can see there's very clear seasonal patterns in our ridership trend that happens every year. In the wintertime, ridership on the railroad dips down. And what we're seeing so far is that rail ridership is a little bit better than budget and a little bit better than last year, and that's reflected in the revenue variances that we've been seeing. In terms of how much our customers are paying us, it's a little bumpy, but it's been a little above, a little below. Next page. Same thing on bus. You can see, like I said, sometimes it's above, sometimes it's below. There, the actuals came in below budget. There, the actuals are better than budget. October was a good month for Metro Bus. I already know what the numbers look like for December. We're a little bad. Next page, we do the exact same thing for Metro Access. You can track actual ridership going on this year compared to what was budgeted and what happened last year. And then one more page is tracking what goes on in our parking lots, utilization in the parking lots, how many people are actually parking, completing parking transactions. Next page. This is just an analysis that shows you what's going on both in revenues, ridership, and average fare. So as I tell you that this current month, we've got rail revenue 2% better than budget. That's made up of ridership being 3% budget, better than budget, but average fare 1% worse than budget. So the +3 and the -1 gives you the 2. And we use this just as kind of a mechanism to keep track of what's going on with the trends out there. Next page. Slipping over to the capital side now. This is a detailed presentation of what was in the summary up front. Again, here's the column for the annual budgets. When we get to the very end, that's a column totaling $900-some million. These are the obligations against those projects going on right now. This is what's been expended against those projects. Janice, run a couple of pages ahead to get to the total. One more. There you go. Back up. There's the $900 million. $164 million expended to date, so we've still got a lot of money to spend between now and the end of the year. Next. This is a page that we wanted to start putting in here routinely for you because the question comes up pretty routinely to us. What are the jurisdictional balances on account? And we've got District, Maryland, and Virginia tracking here. By and large, what usually happens is any credits or surpluses that sit around, we get instructions from jurisdictional staff to just apply that to subsidy payments, and that's kind of what you see in these notes going on over here. One more page, please. The other thing that we're starting to report now is the TIF, the Transit Investment Infrastructure Fund, and what this page highlights is that year-to-date, the fund has received a little over $100 million in inflows. That money is split between the jurisdictions and WMATA, so $60 million by board resolution has been set aside for the jurisdictions. The remainder comes to WMATA for projects. These are the various approved projects that the board has authorized, and you can see one line at a time what's going on with the budget that was set up for each individual project, what's been expended to date, what remains to be expended to complete the project. And I think that's the last chart that we stuck in there. So again, the intent here is to provide more robust financial information, not just on the operating side, but both operating and capital, and in some fund balances that sit behind the scenes.
And we came up with this list. We talked with jurisdictional staff, the JCC, several board members have asked various questions. So hopefully we've captured the data that need be added monthly so we can better monitor. And as Rick points out, it's heavily weighted in the capital side because that was a little lacking in prior reports.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there further discussion?
I don't have a
further discussion?
Yes, please.
Mr. Benjamin?
I did hear from you that you will be catching up and you'll give us two reports sometime soon.
Yeah, we were a little busy.
Yes, we will give you the two reports.
So we're only 2 months behind.
Yes, we're 2 months behind.
Also, if you could, I'm sure all of us would be very interested in knowing at the end of January, so in February, what the ridership numbers actually look like in January.
Absolutely.
And tied to all of that is, I think you have a very difficult problem of allocating revenues between 08 and 09.
Uh-huh.
I, at least, and I suspect all the other board members, would like to know when you start doing this, what you're using as a mechanism, because you have to know how much ridership to attribute to, or ridership losses, if anything. It's a thing that Mr. Zimmerman talked about before. You're attributing to the fare increase, and how much of the gain is an 08 issue versus an 09 issue.
Yeah.
So if you can explain to us what you're doing as you do those allocations, it makes a big difference in both the 08 and the 09 budgets.
Right this minute, I don't have a clue, but we'll figure it out.
Okay. I'd love to hear what it is. I'm sure the rest of us would, too.
All right. Well, there'll be no further business. You will note the subsequent agenda items, which are contained in your package. This meeting is now adjourned. It's 12:15 on January 10, 2008.